Welcome to AM 75 Studio E Magazine, an unrehearsed conversation with the newsmakers of the day. Studio E Magazine is a presentation of AM 75 News and Public Affairs.
Welcome to Studio E Magazine. I'm Mike Hickox. Today on Studio E, we reach back into history. You will recall that Dr. Robert Ballard of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute recently made many dives in a small deep-sea submarine to the wreck of the Titanic, 2.5 miles below the surface of the Atlantic Ocean. He used a little robot sub with cameras, a device he called Jason Jr., to take close-up photos from even inside the ship. Dr. Ballard will be in Portsmouth next Sunday afternoon with a presentation of his work in and around the Titanic and the photos and the videotapes that he brought back. But what of the sinking itself? That day in April of 1912, when the giant ship was steaming from Southampton, England to New York with more than 2,000 people on board. That night when 1,500 of them died as the Titanic went down. Among the 700 who survived was a 12-year-old girl named Ruth Becker. She's now 86-year-old Ruth Blanchard of California. On Studio E today, we talk with Mrs. Blanchard. I called her a little bit too early in the morning on the West Coast and woke her up, but she graciously agreed to tell me her story. Listen now as Ruth Blanchard tells that story, how she and her mother and her brother and sister survived, how they had to stand by in lifeboats and see the tragedy.
I was with my mother and my brother and my sister. My father was a missionary in India, and he was supposed to stay there for 7 years. He was only there for 6 years, but we couldn't stay because my brother was quite ill, and the doctors told us that he would not live if we stayed in India, that we should bring him to America immediately. So we booked passage. Well, of course, we took the boat from Madras up to the Suez Canal and Mediterranean Sea and up to London, and then we boarded the Titanic, I think it was the 10th of April, and that's the reason we were going then.
Okay, so you're headed back to the United States.
Yes.
And do you remember much of the ship itself and what it was like?
Well, I just remember the parts that I was in. I remember our stateroom, and I remember the decks. For some reason or other, I do not remember eating a single meal on that ship. And we were there for 4 days before it went down. But my little brother was 2 years old, and I spent a lot of my time wheeling him on the decks, wheeling him back and forth, and I remember looking in the dining room thinking it was so beautiful in there. Of course, everything was new. The boat was new, and everything on it was new. But I didn't go around in the ship at all. I mean, I didn't go around looking at every place in the ship. I was just on the decks and in our stateroom.
Do you remember much of what happened at the time when it had its collision or when it went down? Is that still quite a memory for you?
Yes, I tell you, it was about 12 o'clock midnight, and my mother woke up, and I did too, because the ship, everything was so quiet, and in a ship, everything is not quiet. You get used to the rumbling of the engines and all, and Mother wondered what in the world was the matter. I mean, we knew that the ship had stopped in the middle of the ocean, and so she went out in the aisle and in the hall and asked the steward, and he says, the ship has struck an iceberg, and go back to your cabin, put your clothes on and the thing that keeps you from drowning?
Oh, life jackets?
Put your life jackets on and come up to the top deck to get into the lifeboats. So we went back into the, she came back into the cabin. We put the clothes on the children. My little brother was 2 years old. My sister was four. I was 12. But we did not dress ourselves. We put our coats over our night clothes. We did dress the children. We went upstairs. The elevator was not working, so we had to climb 5 and 6 flights of stairs up to the top deck. We went into a room, a great big room, where we saw a number of women sitting in all kinds of dress and undress, and they were crying, of course, wondering what in the world was going to happen. So we sat down there and waited, and in a few minutes, my mother says, "Well, Ruth, it's so cold. I didn't realize it was so cold outside. Will you please go down into the cabin and bring up 3 blankets of the ship's blankets so we can wrap around the children?" So I did. When I came up with the blankets, 2 officers came into this great big room, and they said, "Now it's time to go and get into the lifeboat." So one officer took my brother, another took my sister, and we went up, we climbed an iron ladder and went up to the top boat deck. They put my brother and sister in the lifeboat and said, "No more for this boat." Excuse me. My mother yelled out at them, and she said, "Oh, please let me get into the boat." She says, "Those are my children." And so they did let her in, but they wouldn't let me in. So mother yelled up at me and said, "Well, Ruth, go and get into the next boat." So that's what I did. I went down, and I saw an officer putting women and children in the boat. And I asked him if I could get in. He said, "Why, sure." And he picked me up and threw me in.
AM 75 Studio E Magazine continues. I'm Mike Hickox. I'm talking with Ruth Blanchard, a survivor of the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. More of her story after this.
Finding the Titanic in 1986 and returning to film it this year was an experience I'll carry with me for the rest of my life.
Dr. Robert Ballard, who led the fabled Titanic expedition this year.
I've done a number of exciting things in the deep sea, but clearly this was the most challenging and most rewarding thus far, and I find it hard to believe anything like the Titanic expedition will ever come along again. It really was a truly unique experience.
Dr. Ballard's team made 13 dives, thousands of photographs, and hours of color videotape. His national lecture tour starts in Portsmouth, Sunday, September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Portsmouth High School gym, with seating for only 2,800 people. This is a joint educational presentation of the Seacoast Family Y, AM 75 WHEB, the Portsmouth Herald, and Bourneville Incorporated. Advance tickets are on sale now at the Y on Peverly Hill Road, the Greater Portsmouth Chamber of Commerce, Portsmouth High School, and the Dolphin Striker Restaurant. Get your tickets now for this multimedia once-in-a-lifetime event.
And now we hear more from Ruth Blanchard on AM 75 Studio E Magazine. Mrs. Blanchard, a survivor of the sinking of the Titanic. We hear more of her rescue.
The boat was so full that we all had to stand up. And the boat was new, of course. I mean, the ship was new, and all the paint hadn't dried yet. So the lifeboat, instead of going down quietly, I mean, evenly, it went down. One end went down, and then the other went down, and then the other, until we got almost to the bottom. And we could have gotten to the bottom all right, except that there was boat number 15. Our boat was number 13. And boat number 15 was coming above us, and it was coming down so fast that we thought that it would come on top of us. The men in our boat could reach put their arms up, hands up, and reach the bottom, touch the bottom of boat number 15. So one of the men in our boat took a knife out of his pocket and cut the ropes that held the pulleys, and we dropped to the ocean. It wasn't very far. And immediately when we dropped to the ocean, our boat did, we rowed away immediately, and the other boat came down in the place where we were.
So then you were sitting in the boat watching as the ship went down, is that right?
Yes, we rowed away as fast as we could. When the boat touched the water and we pushed away from the Titanic, I'm sure we all noticed that the water was rushing into the boat, and where the iceberg had put a hole in it. And so we rushed away just as fast as we could, because we had no idea how fast the boat would be going down, although it was going down slowly when we got off. So we pushed away from the boat, thinking maybe there might be suction when it went out or something like that. And then we went away, we were about a half mile or maybe more than that away from the boat. I looked back, and you'll have to excuse me because I'm just not awake yet. The decks were just lined with people and looking over the rail. And I wondered then why they weren't getting off like we were. But they were waiting for people, waiting for somebody to come and save them, but nobody did. But when we got out quite a ways, about a mile away, the water rushed into the boilers and caused an explosion. It sounded like an explosion, terrible, terrible explosion. And when that happened, the boat broke in half, and the people that were on the decks jumped into the water, screaming and yelling for help and all, which was terrible. I can remember it yet. And so the prow of the boat went down first. And then the stern seemed to stay up for just a minute or two. And then it went down.
Whatever happened to your father? Was he ever able to get on a boat, or was he...
Oh, no, he didn't come with us. He had to fish. As I said, he had to work for 7 years there, and he had only worked for 6 years because we had to bring my brother to America. And so he had to spend another year in India, and he was not along with us, which was very fortunate.
Yes, it was.
And so we were just the four of us, my mother, brother, and sister, and I. But mother and my sister and brother were in another boat, you see. We were separated. So we rowed in the boat, in our lifeboat. There was a little German lady, and she was crying. And I asked her why she was crying through an interpreter. I couldn't understand German, and she couldn't understand English. And she said that on the Titanic, she had a little 6-week-old baby that she had wrapped up very carefully in blankets because it was so cold. And they put the baby in the lifeboat, and they would not let her in. And so she was afraid that they would throw the baby overboard, thinking it was a bundle of clothes, because they would not allow anybody to carry anything, pocketbooks or anything at all, because it might take the place of a survivor. Well, anyway, so I said no. I was just 12 years old, and I said no. When a ship picks us up, I will help you find your little baby. Well, anyway, during the whole thing, I was not afraid at all. I was excited, but I was not afraid. I didn't think for a minute that we would not be saved. I don't know why. I just thought that things had been arranged and all. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't think for a minute that we would not be saved. So just wrote, the boats were supposed to be equipped with a compass and food and oars, something else, I can't remember. Anyway, we were only equipped with oars. And we all had to stand up because we had about 65 or 70 people in our boat. And we had stokers rowing our boat. Well, you remember these blankets that I had gone down into the cabin to get for my mother. And in the rush, I had forgotten to give her these blankets for the children. So I was holding on to these blankets when we got into the lifeboat. And the gentleman, the officer who took charge, asked me if I would give him the blankets to wrap around these stokers, wrap around these men. You know how stokers, they don't have very much clothing on in the bottom of the ship. I mean, when in the boiler room, they were very scantily dressed, and they were very cold. So they tore the blankets in strips and wrapped around the men's arms and legs and body. And we just rode. We didn't know where to go. We just rode and rode until that was about 1 o'clock or 1:30. I can't remember exactly what time. But about 4:30 in the morning, we saw a light in the distance and rockets going up. And we just all screamed and yelled and laughed and everything because we knew it must be a rescue ship. And so we found out that it was a rescue ship. It was the Carpathia that had come to our aid.
This is Mike Hickox. We're listening to Ruth Blanchard's story of her trip on the Titanic, the trip on which that ship sank. And Ruth and her mother and sister and brother were all saved. More of her story on AM 75 after this.
The Titanic. She was built in 1912 and said to be unsinkable with a double hull and watertight compartments. But she sank to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean on her maiden voyage after an iceberg ripped open her hull. For decades, researchers and scientists had not been able to locate the sunken ship. But in the summer of 1985, Dr. Robert Ballard of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute found the Titanic on the floor of the Atlantic. And on Sunday, September 28th at 2 at Portsmouth High School gym, Dr. Ballard will share with you his collection of slides and videotapes of the sunken wreckage. From his collection of 60 hours of videotape and more than 60,000 photographs, Dr. Ballard will vividly describe this incredible sight. This very special event is being presented by AM 75 WHEB Radio, the Portsmouth Herald, and Bourneville Incorporated. All proceeds benefit the Seacoast Y. Tickets are now on sale at the Seacoast Y in the bubble on Peverly Hill Road in Portsmouth. For information, call 431-2334.
And now the conclusion of Ruth Blanchard's story.
So we rode that direction, and they rode to our direction. I mean, they saw our boats. When we got to the Carpathia, we were all so numb from the cold. I didn't realize that I was so cold, but they sent down swings for us to get into, and they pulled us up in swings. Well, I was so cold that I couldn't hold on at all. My hands were numb. Everything was numb. And so they tied me in. I think I was one of the first to be taken off. And they tied me and pulled me up. At the top, in the room where we were pulled into, they had brandy and hot coffee and blankets piled to the ceiling. But I didn't drink any brandy or hot coffee, and I didn't care for the blankets either. I thawed out immediately. I helped the lady find her little baby. She found her little baby, and that was around 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I imagine.
Well, something I'm interested in is now that some people are considering bringing the ship back up, what is it you would feel about that effort?
I don't want them to bring it up at all. I don't agree with that at all. I think it should be left down there and be a resting place or burial for, 1,500 people went down with that ship. And that is the burial place for those 1,500 people. Some were out on the, out on the decks, and others weren't even, they hadn't even gone out of their cabins. They weren't able to get out of their cabins. So, no, I don't think they should bring that ship up at all.
Is there anything else you wanted to add? You were mentioning something.
Yes, there is one other thing that, as I say, I was very excited and all, but the, on the Titanic, of course, the women and children first, and the men put their wives into the lifeboats, telling them that they would see them later when they got into the lifeboats, but the women would have to go first, and then they would see them later when they were picked up by a rescue ship. So when we were all picked up by the Carpathia, we saw these women standing at the rail of the boat and rails and watching for their husbands. And finally, they didn't come because, of course, the Titanic went down with all their husbands. And that was the worst time that I had seeing these wives just thinking and just knowing that their husbands must be coming in the lifeboats, but they never came. They never saw them. So they sent back 5 or 6 lifeboats to the scene of the disaster, thinking there might be some who were still alive. But of course, in that icy water at all that time, they not only drowned, but they couldn't find anybody. The boats came back empty. There were only 16 lifeboats for 2,500 people, which is ridiculous. At 12 o'clock noon, after all the boats were in, the Carpathia started for New York City. And that was the worst time that I ever experienced, with all these hundreds of women crying and knowing that they had lost their husbands, that they had gone down with the ship. That afternoon, I am told, I thought it was the next day, but I'm told it was that afternoon, the Californian came up alongside of the Carpathia, and the captain asked the captain of the Carpathia, Captain Rostron, if he said, let me take your survivors, because the Carpathia was, when they heard that we were in distress, they were on their way to Europe, and there the Carpathia was full. And then they took on 500 more passengers, and the boat was so full, we were very crowded. And anyway, so the captain of the Californian captain of the Carpathia, Captain Rostron, if he could take the passengers off and put them in his boat, and Captain Rostron would not let him do it. And I don't blame him, because he had come a long ways to save us, and he was the glory of it, and I don't blame him a bit. And the Californian, I think, was about 10 miles or 20 miles away from us and didn't come to save any of us at all. So anyway, we had several that died. We had a funeral, and we that was Monday noon that we started for New York City. We got to New York Harbor. It was Thursday night in the pouring rain. We went all the way to New York in the rain and the fog. And we went very slowly because there was fog and there was icebergs up there. Ice. So we got there in the pouring rain. We were told before we got there that none of the survivors were allowed to get off in New York unless they had relatives or friends meeting them there. So, but we had friends meeting us there, and they took us to a hotel. The next day, my mother was taken out, taken shopping, and bought us some clothes. We didn't have any clothes. We just had our coats over night clothes. But I want to tell you another little incident that happened. A couple of nights after that, we got on the train and started for South Bend, Indiana. And my mother told me before we got on the train, she says, "Ruth, don't you dare tell anybody that we were on the Titanic, because before we landed in New York Harbor, the reporters, they must have taken a boat and gotten, anyway, they got on the Carpathia, and they just asked us all kinds of questions, and my mother cried all the time. She was so nervous, and she said, "I can't tell you anything, but Ruth, my daughter Ruth, can tell you everything." Well, I was sick of that, and she couldn't do it, so she says, "Ruth, don't you dare tell anybody on this boat, I mean on this train, that we were on the Titanic." And I said, "Don't worry, I won't." So anyway, when we boarded the train, people on the train, we were just deluged with gifts of all kinds, toys for the children, and food, and cakes and cookies, and clothes for us, and clothes for the children, and it was just, we just couldn't believe it.
Now, that was a wonderful response from the people around then.
We wondered how they found out that we were on the Titanic, you know. And my mother says, "Ruth, did you tell anybody?" And I said, "No, I didn't tell a soul."
Ruth Blanchard, now 86 years old and living in California, has told her story so many times of her trip on the Titanic. We're grateful she was willing to tell it again just for us. I hope you, like I, could experience through her description the tragedy of the Titanic as it was happening. Through her, we've touched history. For AM 75, Studio E Magazine, I'm Mike Hickox.
The opinions expressed on Studio E Magazine are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of radio station WHEB, its management, or sponsors. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions about our program, drop a line to AM 75, Post Office Box 120, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, 03801. Be sure to be listening next week at this same time for Studio E Magazine.